How many of you excited to get your diploma today? Oh, if you're new to our church, we've been in a 7-week series called Faith University. And if you attended all 7 messages or at least listened to them online, today is your day to get your diploma. It's really, really nice. Amen. And you get your Audacious Faith mug, coffee mug, which has a Bible verse, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." And you can use this at work. It's a good witnessing tool. Amen, 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 amen. How many of you have been to all 7 and you're going to get this, you're going to pick this up today? Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. And then just quickly, if you missed one of the 7, you can go to the website. If you look above that door to my right, to your left, liftupjesus.com is the name of our media ministry. And all 7 messages are on that website. And all you have to do is this week, if you're not here yet, you listen to all 7, or if you've missed 2, listen to those 2, and come back next week and turn in your card or a piece of paper that says you listened to all 7, and we'll be handing these out next week as well. Amen. But right after church, out in front of pillars, out at the parking structure, there's places to get these diplomas. And the university, Bible College, Hope International, they're out in the lobby. They've got some cardboard cutouts of me that you can go stand in front of and get your picture taken. I don't know why you'd do that, but you can. And I just want you to know it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. I miss being here. The thing that I miss most is that time of worship, that time where we're together, not worried about anything, and just worshiping God together. And I hope you've already been blessed here today, and keep those young people in your prayers if you can. Last weekend, we started a brand new series called Deep Water. Everybody say Deep Water.
Deep Water.
Now, is there anyone here that caught the irony that for the first time in over 80 years that a hurricane hits Los Angeles is the same weekend that we started a series called Deep Water? Did anybody catch that last week? Now, as you know, I plan all these a year in advance, so that this series was planned a year ago, last August, and only God could orchestrate a hurricane hitting this place when we start this series. I hope you see the irony in all that. This series, Deep Water, is a series where we go through different passages, different stories. They're all unique in their own way, but they all have water involved, but there's also an element of faith. And today is one of the most important stories in the whole Bible about water and faith. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 14, which is in the middle of the book of Matthew. And inside your bulletin, I want you to take the sermon notes out. You're going to want to take notes, because I want to talk to you today about water-walking faith, water-walking faith. Our story takes place on the Sea of Galilee, which this video here I actually took on top of a building there. This is in the northern part of Israel. It's a lake that is shaped like a pear. It is 14 miles long and 8 miles wide. It's about the size, approximately, of the San Fernando Valley. So when you look across the valley, that's about how big this lake is. And Jesus spent about 2/3 of his life, of his ministry, on or around this lake. And for those of us that go to Israel, you've been on one of our Israel trips, we spend about 3 days up there around that lake. In fact, we were there in April, and we take a couple hundred people. They have these boats that seat 100 people, and so we fill up both boats. And we go out into the middle of that sea, and we bring the boats together, and we tie them up, so it's just a shepherd family out in the middle of that lake. We turn the motors off. It's absolutely beautiful. And we had Nico lead us in worship, and then I preached a sermon. And here's a little video that I took of just last April. I want you to see. This The reason I'm showing this to you is because our story today in Matthew 14 takes place on this lake. So I'm just kind of giving you context so you know that the lake is real, that this story is real, and this is where it takes place. Watch the video.
From Nazareth takes like 2 to 3 days to come and to get to the Sea of Galilee. So you could do it, you could do hike, but it's, you know, stuff. But that's what the people they did actually in those days, walking. And yes, I mean, good morning. So this is Mount Arbel. You have, we got to get back to here. We got to get back to see the Inshapot. It's in that black building. Okay, you're not, I lost you. Let's do this first. And then I'll get back to you.
On the count of three, everybody say Shepherd Church. 1, 2, 3. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
That's pretty good right there. So obviously out in the lobby, there's some brochures. We're going to go again in April. If you want to join us, go get one of those brochures. But I want you to turn and look at Matthew 14, because this story takes place on that lake. We want to start with verse 22. Two things before I read. One, I want to ask you, before we read, do you live your life just sitting in a boat? Or today, would you say you're out there walking on the water in faith for God? Are you more concerned about your comfort, or are you concerned about getting out of your comfort zone? Just want to ask you that question. Second thing I want to tell you before I read this is what happens right before the story I'm about to read. If you have your Bible, you'll see that what takes place right before this text is where Jesus feeds 5,000 people. And all he had was 5 little loaves of bread and 2 little fish that a little boy gave him. And with those 5 little loaves and those 2 little fish, Jesus feeds 5,000 people, and they have 12 basketfuls left over. Some people say, well, that's a miracle. No, that's not a miracle. That's 5,000 miracles. So just keep that in mind, that story has just taken place. And then verse 22 says, immediately, everybody say immediately. Jesus made the disciples, he made them get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. And while he himself dismissed the crowd, so he sent them on ahead. Verse 23, after he dismissed them, he, Jesus, went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there all alone. But the boat that the disciples were in was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, that's about 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, how many of you were asleep at 3 o'clock this morning? You were asleep at 3 o'clock. How many of you were awake this morning at 3 o'clock? Look at all the strange people out here. Okay. I don't know what you were doing up at 3 o'clock, but I'm glad you're here at church. During the fourth watch, about 3 o'clock in the morning, in the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were what? They were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. I'm going to show you a painting that was painted in the year 1860. This was painted by a man by the name of Amadeo Varon in 1860. And to be honest with you, I've preached on this story many, many times. It wasn't until this week when I saw this photo, this painting, that it dawned on me, back in those days, there was no electricity of any kind. And if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and there's a storm, you're not going to see the sun, the moon or the stars. That is probably pitch dark at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you're in this little tiny boat being tossed back and forth. You're already scared. And then you look up and you see someone that looks like they're walking on the water. You would probably say the same thing. It's a ghost. And this painting helped put this whole story in context for me. But immediately, the Bible says, Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." He didn't have time for a long prayer. Long prayer, he'd been 30 feet underneath the water. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." And all God's people said. In your outline, I have 4 points. Number one, write this down. If you want to learn how to walk on water, number one, don't get counsel from your distractors. There'll always be those who will tell you, if you're going to live for the Lord, you're nuts, you're crazy, you're a fool for following Jesus. You're out of your mind anytime you attempt the impossible for the Lord. How many of you know that we live in a culture full of critics and naysayers? Verse 26 says that the disciples, when they saw Jesus walking on the lake, they were all terrified. So the group as a whole, the culture of the boat, it was full of people that were fearful. And it's important to remember that they had just seen, just a few hours earlier, they had seen and they had participated in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Just a few hours later, they were all amazed. They were all excited. They're like, "This is great. Look at the miracles we're a part of." And here they are just a few hours later, scared half to death and living in total fear. You know who that reminds me of? Us. Because we're people of faith, COVID hits, and immediately we became people living in fear. We're people of faith, and the first time a storm comes, we get fearful. "Oh, there's going to be a hurricane. Oh, what's going to happen here in Los Angeles?" You feel the earthquake. And I don't want to make fun of that stuff. But we're people of faith until we get a bad medical report. And immediately we become people who are fearful. I'm 100% sure. It's like we don't have all the conversation that the disciples had in that boat that day. But I'm 100% sure when Peter even contemplated getting out of that boat, that the other disciples had to say, "Peter, you're out of your mind. Get back in this boat." And just remember, anytime you attempt to do anything great for God, there will always be naysayers trying to talk you out of it. So I want to encourage you, write this down. Instead of listening to fearful people, seek advice from godly people. If you're going to talk to someone, talk to people who are literally walking in faith. Don't talk to people who are just sitting in a boat. Seek advice from people who are doing great things for God. I heard and read that Einstein couldn't talk until he was 4 years of age, and he couldn't read until he was like seven, and that there were people that thought, this kid, he's not very smart. Beethoven's music teacher told him as a composer, you're hopeless. Walt Disney was fired by a newspaper editor because he had no good ideas. Michael Jordan was cut his sophomore year in high school because the coach said, you're not good enough to make our team. There's always naysayers. Today, all over this room, when I look across this room, do you know what I see in this room? I see nothing but potential. I see people who are here. If you would get out of the boat, start walking in faith, you have the potential to change the entire world. Stop living in fear. Start walking in faith. And if you're going to listen to somebody, listen to someone who is walking in faith. That's who you want to follow advice or get advice from. Number two, write this down. Don't attempt the impossible in your own strength. Oh, this is so important. I'm not here to just throw you out on the water. I'm saying if you're going to do something impossible, don't do it in your own strength. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come on the water and I'll come. And Jesus said, come. And at that moment, you have to understand this about Peter, in the midst of a storm, but his faith, because of Jesus, was greater than his fear. His faith was greater than his fear of the darkness. His faith in Jesus was greater than his fear of the waves. His faith in Jesus was greater than his fear of the rain. His faith in Jesus was greater than the fear of the storm. And as long as Jesus is the one calling him, he was up for the impossible. Peter, as we know, was not the most consistent follower that Jesus ever had. But Peter had this one thought at that moment. He was thinking, I'd rather be in the midst of the storm and walking on the water with Jesus than sitting in the safety of this boat without Jesus. He didn't know a lot, but he knew one thing. He knew in his own strength he would fail. But if that was the Lord, and that was the Lord calling him, and he operated in the strength of the Lord, that all things were possible. I want to ask you, do you believe that? I ask you again. Are you living your life right now in the comfort of a boat? Or are you living your life taking bold, audacious steps of faith? It's important to notice that Peter didn't just jump out of the boat when he saw Jesus. He waited until the Lord bid him to come. He waited until he heard the Lord's voice calling him. One of the wisest things you'll ever need to learn is in the midst of a storm or in the midst of any season in your life, write this down, is to listen and follow God's voice. John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I love going over to my grandkids, my grandson's house, and they don't know. I never tell them I'm there. I just show up like a great grandparent. I just show up. And I love to see them when they don't know I'm there, but I can see them through the window. And they might be eating, they might be playing, and I just step up around the corner where they can't see me. And I say, where's Papa's boys? Where's Papa's boys? And as soon as they hear my voice, it doesn't matter if they're eating, if they're playing, whatever they're doing, they turn and they run towards Papa. It's the greatest feeling in the world. I ask you, are you listening for the voice of the Lord in your life? Have you spent enough time personally with Jesus that you can clearly identify his voice when he calls you into deep water? Are you ready for the impossible? Oh, I think you are. Well, don't go till you actually hear God's voice. You say, well, how am I going to learn God's voice? By spending time with him. I'm convinced that many of us We read God's word. We go, hey, I'm not going to do that. Why? Well, because you don't recognize this is the voice of God. Spend time with him. Many of us can't recognize his voice because we haven't spent enough time with him. We can't recognize his voice because there's too much static in our own life. There's too many worldly distractions in our life. That's why the other disciples did not venture out of the boat. They were fully distracted by the wind and by the waves and by the storm, by the fear, by the lightning. It doesn't take faith. It's not faith to look back over your life and to say, well, oh, I see the Lord. He brought me through this. That's not faith. Faith is when you're in the middle of the storm. You can't see your hand in front of your face. And all of a sudden you hear the voice of God calling you and leading you to deep water. And you see and understand that it's the Lord. It's the Lord that's calling me to live such and such. It's the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's the Lord, the one who holds the entire universe just in the palm of his hands. It's the Lord, the one who commands the winds and the wave. It's the Lord, the one who has power over life and death. He's the one that's calling me. And anytime the Lord calls you, write this down. Anytime you hear God leading you to do something, don't stay in the boat. Don't stay in the boat. The Bible says that Peter got down out of the boat and walked on water and came towards Jesus. Peter said, Lord, is that you? And the Lord said, yes, it's me. Lord, do you want me to walk on the water? Yes. Well, all you have to do is say, come, and I'll come. And the Lord said, come. Peter, eyes fixed on Jesus, takes one leg over the edge of the boat, takes his other leg, eyes fixed on Jesus, out of the boat. He takes a step, and a step, and a step. And for the first time in the history of the human race, an ordinary, mortal, flawed man is walking on the water. And for that moment, it's Jesus and Peter. And like the song says, when Peter was walking on that water, he wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on the word of God, because the word called him to come. He's standing on the word of God is what he was standing on. And the Bible says that Peter walked towards Jesus. And if you learn anything today, learn this. You have to be willing to walk alone if you're going to do something great for God. Oh, some of you liked it. Oh, you loved it when I told these young people up on this stage. Young people, listen, when you go to that school, there's going to come a time you're going to be the only one in that school where you're going to stand up and do the right thing. If you're the only child in that class, you still stand up and do the right thing. Some of you love that. And yet the same thing is true for all of us as adults, because there's going to come a day at work, where you live, in your neighborhood, with your friends, where you might be the only one that stands up for what's right. But anytime you're going to follow God, you better be prepared to be the only one. And keep standing. If God's called you, you follow God's leading. You know, I, as a pastor, I don't want to live in fear. I want to be fearless. And don't be offended by this, but I don't want to pastor a church full of fearful people. I want to pastor a church full of fearless people. I just got back from my break. You know, I'm studying. I got my Bible. I got notes. I'm writing. I'm praying. I'm seeking God's will. And I'm listening like, God, what do you want for our church? And, oh, okay, and I write that down. I start learning some of this stuff. It looks impossible. And I'm thinking I'm going to come back in just a few months. And in January, I'll come back and I'll share with you everything that the Lord put on my heart these last few weeks. And I'm going to stand up here. I'm going to share it. And as soon as I say it, I know some of you are going to go, well, we can't do that. That's too much money. That's going to take too much time. That's too much work. Pastor, are you nuts? No, I'm not crazy. I'm just saying that when I come and I share these things with you, the things that I think God has called this church to do as we move forward in this next year, Lord willing, this is all Lord willing, instead of having a church full of naysayers who go, we can't do that, I want a bunch of people to say, let's go, let's roll up the sleeves, let's get to work, let's see what God can do through this church if we all work together. The greatest failure is to never try. You say, well, you don't think you can lead a life group. Well, why don't you get out of the boat and try? I don't think I can serve and volunteer. Well, why don't you get out of the boat and try? Well, I can't tithe. That's just not even possible. I can't tithe. Why don't you get out of the boat and try? Well, I can't share my faith. I'm just too timid of a person. Why don't you get out of the boat and try to share your faith? You say, well, I can't put my marriage back together. It's too far. I can't put it back together. Why don't you get out of the boat and try? If you're afraid of failure, you're never going to get out of that boat. Do you know where the richest, wealthiest place in town is? The wealthiest place in town? It's not the jewelry store over there in Beverly Hills. It's not the country club over here at Porter Ranch. That's not the wealthiest place in town. It's not courtside seat at the Lakers game. You know where the wealthiest place in town is? No, it's not the church. It's the cemetery. The cemetery is full of riches that people carry to their graves. Songs that were never written, works of art that were never created, life-changing achievements that were never attempted, powerful testimonies that were never shared, resources that were never invested in eternal causes, the riches and blessings of God that were never handed out because people lived their entire life never attempting great things because, oh, they had such little faith, they were scared all the time. Which leads me to my fourth and final point, and this is the most obvious point. We always talk about this. Number four, write this down. Don't focus on your circumstances. The Bible says that when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. We've got to learn how to keep our gaze on Jesus. Most of you know what happened here because it's happened to all of us. We know that God is all-powerful. We know that. We know that God is all-knowing. We understand that. We know that God is all-present. We know that through Christ, all things are possible. But instead of trusting fully and completely, we start focusing on our circumstances, and as quickly as we stepped out in faith, we equally as quickly take our eyes off of Jesus, start focusing on our problems, and all of a sudden, we start to sink. Peter is actually literally walking on water. And as soon as he takes his eyes off the Lord and starts looking at his circumstances, he starts to sink. He cries out and the Lord saves him. I want you to write this down. The same God that leads you into the storm is the same God that will meet you in the storm. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do today, it could be to come and be baptized, it could be come to get involved in the church, it could be to start a ministry, it could be to use your resources for eternal causes. It could be one of a thousand things, but if you hear God's voice leading you to go somewhere and you actually do what he asks, you're gonna wake up one day and find out that you're still involved in a storm. Don't turn back and quit. Just know that the God that led you to walk through that storm will meet you in the storm. For one moment, I want to ask this question. Did Peter fail? Did he fail? Well, it depends on how you look at it. We still love the fact that he at least got out of the boat and those other guys didn't even try to get out of the boat. But I look at this event as a whole. Yes, he walked on water. Yes, he exercised great faith. Yes, yes, he took his eyes off the Lord. And yes, he began to sink. But what did he do? The moment he began to sink, what did he do? He turned his eyes back on the Lord. He said, Lord, save me. And the moment he fell, God gave him a second chance. Someone asked Winston Churchill, what prepared you to lead Great Britain through World War II in a period of time where Great Britain stood virtually alone against Nazi Germany as it dominated the Western world? Churchill responded, it was the time that I repeated a class in grade school. The questioner said, you mean you flunked a grade? Churchill said, I didn't flunk anything. I was simply given a second opportunity to get it right. So did Peter fail? The answer is all of us will have setbacks in life. It's how you handle those setbacks is what matters. The Bible says that after Peter took his eyes off the Lord, that he began to sink. He cries out, Lord, save me. Verse 31, the Bible says immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. He said, ye of little faith. Why would you doubt? You don't ever want to hear that question. You hear God's voice, get out of that boat, keep your eyes on Jesus, full steam ahead, and keep your eyes on Jesus. But if you happen to fall, turn back to Jesus a second time. He'll be right there. Now watch this. We skip over this. Look at verse 32. When they climbed into the boat, what happened? What? They climbed into the boat. Then what happened? It does not say that the wind died down, so they climbed back in the boat. That's not what it says. So Peter's out in the middle of that water. He's walking on water. He takes his eyes off Jesus. He begins to sink. He cries out, Lord, save me. Jesus reaches out and grabs him and rescues him. As I read this, God gave Peter a second chance. I don't think Jesus carried Peter. I think Peter walked on that water. I think he walked a second time as they walked back. They got to the boat. Storm's still going on. Waves are still there. They get back in the boat. And then the waves were calm. Which tells me, you can be smack dab in the middle of God's will, walking in faith, and still be in a storm. But chill. Take a chill pill. Because the Lord is with you even in the midst of the storm. Keep walking in faith. Eventually, you'll get through that storm. Verse 31, those who were in the boat worshiped him. Truly you are the Son of God. Write these two things down. We'll close. Number one, we don't ever see God like we need to see him until we go through the storm. Never going to really understand God until you go through the storm. Because until you've been tested, you really don't know how strong your faith is. So don't be fearful of the test. Embrace the test. And number two, write this down quickly. I wish I had more time to preach on this. Discipleship is always a choice between comfort and fear. I ask you again, are you more concerned about comfort or getting out of your comfort zone? Don't let fear keep you in that boat. How many of you have ever heard of a couch potato? A couch potato is the same thing as a boat potato. Don't be a boat potato. Are you here today comfortable coming in this boat and just sitting in here? Or is God calling you to deep water? To be involved with something that seems impossible, knowing that if you keep your eyes on the Lord, that he will see you through any situation. Amen? Let's stand and bow our heads for just a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you again for all these young people. Pray your blessing on them. I pray you'd bless the church as they go get their diplomas. for listening and participating the last 7 weeks. I pray for anyone, God, who needs to take a step of faith and get over here to the baptistry. Whatever it is that you're calling us to do, anything you're calling us to be, give us the sensitivity to recognize your voice. Help us to spend so much time with you in your word and in prayer. God, that when you speak, even in the midst of the storm, we identify your voice. Remind us today that there's nothing that we need to be fearful about, that you will be with us if we will simply walk in faith. You are with us every step of the way. And if we do happen to fall, you are a God who will give us a second chance. God bless every man, woman, boy, and girl here today. Bring us back safely next week. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. God bless you, and thank you for coming to church today.